This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
Saul is taking notes even while he's there. That guy has the face of an angel. And when he tells the story later, he tells Luke this very issue. Stephen, he is a witness because he's full of the Holy Spirit and he's full of grace.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, The Christ-Centered Life.
We invite you to open up your Bibles with us today to Acts chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. Here we consider this wonderful story of Stephen, a man full of grace and full of the Holy Spirit. He's a man full of boldness in his witness for Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I long for greater boldness to share Christ more often, more frequently, more consistently, more clearly with those around me. And this story is a story that reminds us of how essential it is for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit each day, so that the Holy Spirit would lead us, the Holy Spirit would open up doors for us, and the Holy Spirit would use us then in sharing Christ. I believe that the Lord would have you to share the good news message with someone this week. I pray that this message might open your heart and stimulate you to consider that ministry that God would have you to exercise in your life. Stephen was really bold, and God calls us to be bold as well. And he's given us the Holy Spirit so we can be bold. So let's ask God for this very blessing today.
There's a Christian friend who lived most of his life as an unsaved man. I didn't know him before he was saved. He's saved now, and he is full of grace. He's a man who's so wonderful to be around, so generous and kind and patient. And someone came up to me and said, "Hey, boy, you should have known him before he became a Christian. He was a real wreck. He was miserable to be around. You know, the change is just remarkable." I said, "Boy, I can't hardly imagine that, because all I've known is the life of the Spirit, and the life of God has changed him." This is what the gospel does to a heart, that the Holy Spirit comes and he fills a person, and the person becomes, his life becomes full of grace, full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Look what is said of Stephen in Acts 6:15. Here's this council made of these folks who hate Christ and who now hate Stephen, and they're condemning him. They're moving toward this absolute condemnation. They've seized him. It's rather rough. This is the description of how they're treating him already. He's giving explanation for his faith. He's given answer even to these false witnesses. And here's the council. It's interesting how Luke describes what's happening in the inner workings of this council. Look what he says. "And gazing at him, all who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel." You know, Stephen is under full assault as witnesses are being paid to make terrible accusations against him. Have you ever had someone call you a name or make a false accusation against you? And have you ever been in that situation where other people around you are actually influenced by it? They think ill of you as they're calling you names or making accusations about you? Let me ask you, at that moment, as it's happening, could others say, "Oh, that person had the face of an angel"? It's kind of remarkable, because it's not like, oh, after a day, after Stephen, you know, blew off some steam and got angry and you know, railed against the people, then he kind of calmed down, said, "Oh, you know, I'm sorry," and then he had the face of an angel. It was in the moment as it was happening. There's only one way to explain that. It's the Spirit of God is at work. Let's consider also, how did Luke know that Stephen had the face of an angel as he was sitting in a private council being tried? How did Luke know that? Because everyone else there is an enemy of Stephen. So who gave Luke this information? Well, I think Luke tells us, doesn't he? Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 54. "When they heard these things, they were enraged. They ground their teeth at him. But he, full of this Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see heavens open, the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice, and they stopped their ears, and they rushed together at him, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. There's a young guy there in the midst of this council. And at this point, he's loving what's happening. In fact, if you read verse 1 of chapter 8, it says, "And Saul approved of his execution." And so here's Saul, he's in the inner workings of the council, and he's taking notice, though. He's not influenced by it yet, but he's taking notice. Man, this guy is responding differently to anybody I've ever seen undergo this kind of accusation. And I believe it's Saul who becomes Paul by the grace of God, and I believe by the testimony of Stephen. I think that's why Luke is writing it, so that we're prepared for Acts 9 when God miraculously saves Paul, for us to connect the dots that Stephen's testimony was not in vain. But Saul is taking notes even while he's there. That guy has the face of an angel. And when he tells the story later, he tells Luke this very issue. Stephen, he is a witness because he's full of the Holy Spirit and he's full of grace. Full of grace. Here's the application. Be bold in standing up for Christ, but do not be frustrated. Be confrontational in telling the truth of Christ, but do not be angry. You know, I've yet to hear of a testimony of someone said, "Yeah, you know, here's what happened. We were a big argument about moral or political issues, and the Christian, you know, got really angry at me and started saying some really harsh things to me, and then I became saved." Have you ever had anybody say that as their testimony? Here's Stephen in the midst of the worst kind of accusation. He's full of grace and gentleness and patience. And yes, he's saying some really hard things, saying some really confrontational things. He doesn't back away from the truth, but he says it with grace. Third issue, courage. Third quality, courage. Look at verses 9 through 14 and think about this for a moment. And again, Stephen's an ordinary guy who just loves the Lord. He's a disciple of Jesus. He's full of the Holy Spirit, but he's an ordinary guy. And think of this as though it may happen to you someday. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen and of the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians and those from Cilicia and Asia rose up. In other words, it's a big group, a group that ordinarily doesn't even get along with each other. But now they're getting along in order to rise up and dispute with Stephen. They don't like what Stephen's saying regarding Jesus. And they couldn't withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. So now, and the more they talk with Stephen, the more that the Spirit of God is refuting their wisdom. And so then they get violent. They secretly instigated men who said, "Hey, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And it says they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and they seized him. That's a really strong word. It grabbed him roughly, and they brought him before the council, and they set up false witnesses. They paid people to make accusations in the court of law. And these false witnesses, this man never ceases to speak against this holy place, against the temple, and against the law of Moses, God's word. "For we've heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered." In the story, we see so many parallels to the trials and death of Jesus, don't we? This is purposeful. You see, Luke wants us to understand that followers of Jesus should expect to be treated like Jesus. And Jesus told us already that, you know, he told his disciples that prior to his death, "Hey, they hated me, they'll hate you also." But Luke's telling the story in a way so that we'll expect it. We won't be surprised by this. That we need to expect that we will be treated like Jesus when we speak the gospel. And Stephen knows the penalty of blasphemy. That's what he's being accused of. He knows that the penalty is execution, death, and he knows that this is the very same group who a couple months earlier were effective at convincing Rome to crucify Jesus. He knows they have in their power to do this. And you can imagine the sobering nature of this moment for Stephen. Do you think Stephen was afraid? I tell you, I think he was. You know, he's a human, just another man like others. But Stephen is not overcome by his fears. He knows that Jesus is with him and he is depending upon God's Spirit for courage. Eddie Rickenbacker, a World War I flying ace, said this: "Courage is doing what you're afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you're scared. Stephen then goes on in the midst of these accusations and these threats, and he confronts his culture with the gospel. Look at chapter 7, verse 51, and we'll again look at this more closely next time we're together in Acts. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and didn't keep it. And now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him." Now, Stephen didn't say these things because he was angry, because he wants to shoot a dart at these guys who had shot darts at him. Stephen cared about these people who were cursing him. Stephen said these things, very direct, very confrontational, for two reasons. One, he's zealous for the glory of Jesus. He knows that Jesus is worthy of being lifted up, and right now, these guys are the people who want to just put him into a corner and shut the door. And Stephen says, no, as long as I live, Jesus is going to be made known, because he's worthy. Secondly, Stephen says these things because he's zealous for the salvation of his brethren. These are Jewish people. As Stephen is a Jew, he cares for them. He cares for their salvation. He knows that they need to be confronted with their rejection of the Messiah if they're ever to receive the Messiah, that that's not something he could skirt around. Friends, our world is growing more and more hostile to the true Jesus. That's becoming evident every day, more and more evident. The strategy of this world is first to attack the true Jesus, make any presentation of the true Jesus so ridiculed, so belittled, as to bring shame to anyone who would grab onto the true Jesus and present him to this world. That's the first strategy. The second strategy, then, is to create false Jesuses, Jesuses that are more in alignment with the world. Hey, here's the Jesus that is real. Here's the Jesus that, you know, we believe all Christians should worship, and a lot of churches are in alignment with that. Stephen is one of those guys who said, no, I'm going to lift up the true Jesus. You can attack me for it, but I will not settle for a false Jesus or a diminished Jesus. I will present a Jesus full of glory and full of grace, full of righteousness and full of truth, full of mercy. We will have to make decisions. Decisions that will be hard, even as Stephen had to make a decision. He knew where this was going. He may not have absolutely known for sure that it was going to end in this death, but he knew that that was very, very possible. He knew the risks, and he said, it's worth it. Jesus, when he called me, he said, take up your cross and follow me. And Stephen had already made that choice. The choice was made before he got in this situation, to lay his life on the line for Christ, if Christ would call him to do that. Our world is growing more and more hostile. Just this past week, almost every week there's some new story that would highlight that. This past week, you know, Oral Roberts University, Christian University, Sweet 16, big story because, you know, the number 15 seed, only second team, number 15 seed to ever reach there. And the USA Today, it's a national newspaper, printed an opinion piece that said the NCAA needed to explicitly condemn ORU University. Why? What have they done? Well, they have a Christian statement of moral ethics. And that Christian statement, it includes sexual purity, includes denial of homosexuality, as for instance. And for that reason, in a national newspaper, there was a call, and a very, you know, very harsh call, for the NCAA to publicly and explicitly condemn the university. Now, I say this not so that we get riled up politically, so you're right, it's not we got to do something. I say that so that we would be prepared. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, be prepared for this to happen. I pray that there's revival and there may be reversal, but we must be prepared. God calls his people to be prepared from the beginning, from the time of Stephen, for this. We shouldn't be surprised that it may be our hour. And in preparation, let us make sure we prepare our little ones, that this world is not a friend to grace, and that they may have to, early on in their life, make decisions either for Christ or away from Christ. But the time of walking the fence is growing shorter and shorter. Stephen was a man who was able to give witness because of his courage. Witness requires courage, courage that God gave him by his Spirit. We do not measure success of witness in terms of the here and now, but in terms of eternity. We are not home here in this world. We don't expect our world to feel like home. We care for one thing, the smile of God, His pleasure. Here's what the author of Hebrews writes. All these died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and that they were exiles on the earth. So this is what Christians have always thought of themselves in this world. We're strangers. We're exiles. This isn't home. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. But as it is, they desire a better country. That's a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. What a statement. Stephen is one of many illustrations we have of a person whom God is not ashamed to be called their God. May we be such people in our age. May we be faithful with this kind of boldness and with this kind of faith. For He has prepared for them a city. We do not look for our reward in this world. We look for our reward after we die. You know, I was so encouraged this morning. There was one of our members that came. She hadn't been able to come. She's been struggling with cancer all year. And she talked about chemotherapy and radiation. She's been through it. She was so happy to be in the presence of God's people and fellowship, you know, the last couple of weeks as she's been able to now. But she says, I know, you know, why God had me to go through so many radiation treatments and so much chemotherapy, all of that. There's just tons of doctors and nurses. I know why. Because every one of them, I was able to tell them about Jesus. God had me go through this so that I could tell every one of those many nurses and many doctors about Jesus. Isn't that a Christian perspective? Amen. Application, let us prepare your minds and hearts for the moment when God calls you to stand up for Jesus. Be ready for the opposition that will confront you. Ask God for courage and wisdom in that moment to do that which would most honor Jesus. I believe within this week, most of you will have such a moment. Will you be prepared? Stephen was already prepared. He didn't say, hey, time out. Could you give me a couple of days to have a spiritual retreat so then I can come back? He was ready in the moment to courageously stand up for Jesus. I don't know what specific way that might be. It might be with a neighbor. It could be in your workplace. It could be 100 different ways. But I believe for many of you, this week will present a moment like that. I believe most weeks are that way. And I believe because we've kind of gotten into the condition of, well, I'm just going to walk away from those moments. I'm going to leave those doors shut, that we don't even see them. But I'd ask you, won't you pray and say, God, show me that moment, because by God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to be faithful as a witness for Jesus. Last quality, mercy. Chapter 7, verse 58. So they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, and they were stoning Stephen. And he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Hatred from the world did not fill Stephen with hatred for the world. Stephen's response reminds us of Jesus' response upon the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. We must not become hostile to the people who live in our world. Yes, they are often hostile to us, but we must not become hostile to them. We must be people who love the people of this world, even as God loves them and presents Christ to them, offers Christ to them. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to love people who abuse us, who hate us, who cancel us, who oppress us. But we are free. We are free to have mercy. We are free from bitterness. We are free from anger. We are free from hostility. We are free. Friend, are you harboring resentment or bitterness over a wrong suffered? This is a spiritual opportunity for you to be free. Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. He said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. We will become witnesses for Jesus when we become forgivers like Jesus. Stephen, even as stones are raining down upon his body, and I can't hardly imagine what that must be like to be stoned. And even as he is being stoned, he calls out to God in sincere prayer on behalf of the souls of those who are flinging rocks, rocks that would kill him. And he asks the Father to forgive them. Be encouraged. God uses the quality of mercy to powerfully impact the world, even if we don't see it in the moment. Last two applications, big applications. First, receive Jesus as your Savior and your King. You know, Stephen saw heaven open. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen's ready to die because he already knows Jesus. He knows Jesus died for him. Jesus rose again. Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus is waiting in heaven to receive all his own. Stephen is ready to die. Let me ask you, are you? The moment to be ready for death is not at death's door. The moment to be ready for death is now. And there's only one person in heaven that could open the door for us to be received by God into his home forever, and that's Jesus. No one on their deathbed will effectively be able to cry, "Dad, Mom, make a way for me. Brother, sister, make a way. Pastor, make a way for me." No one's able to call out on any other name, not any other God, not any other person, other than Jesus, "Receive my spirit." If you call upon Jesus by faith, you are guaranteed to have the experience that Stephen has of being received by God into his very presence on the day of your death. And more than that, you are guaranteed to be given eternal life now to enjoy every day until the day you die. Praise God for that. Secondly, beloved, let us be a witness. Proclaim Jesus as your Savior. You are Jesus' witnesses. God calls you and me to speak his name to our world. People are without Jesus. Please, 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 if you don't have a burden, ask God for a burden for the souls of your friends and family and neighbors. Ask for that burden to be crushing, because I think until it's crushing, it won't change us. It won't change our behavior. But ask God to provide a great burden so that you and I will be faithful in being his witnesses.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now, here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. As a listener, you're really important to us, and we want to encourage you. We want to encourage you first by offering you a free resource. It's entitled 1 Minute After You Die by Pastor Erwin Lutzer. This is one of my favorite books to pass out to neighbors and others who may not know the Lord Jesus, but also to bring an encouragement to believers who may be in distress, to just remind ourselves of the great assurance we have of what will happen when we die if we are in Jesus Christ. And so if you'd like this resource, please contact us. We'd also like to encourage you to think about giving. First, giving to your own local church, to ministering through your generosity, to seeing that your local church has resources to present the gospel. And then by giving to your own local Christian radio station. But we would ask that if this ministry has encouraged you, that you might consider giving a gift to Knowing Christ. We thank you for thinking about that, and we're relying upon the Lord to continue this ministry. May God bless you today.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org, and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.